Good afternoon. This is Barbara Glickstein, and you're tuned into Health Styles, brought to you by the Center for Health, Media, and Policy at Hunter College, City University of New York. We're back on our new daytime schedule. It'll be every Thursday from 1 to 2 p.m., and we're glad you're tuned in and listening. Over this past weekend, the end of June, I was in Billings, Montana to join the Not in Our Town, which is a movement to stop hate, address bullying, and build safe, inclusive communities for all. Not in Our Town films, new media, and organizing tools help local leaders build vibrant, diverse cities and towns where everyone can participate. This past weekend was the National Leadership Gathering where, for full disclosure, I am a member of the Working Group Not in Our Town Board. People from all over the United States gathered to share in conversation and tell stories and share their best practices on how their community is trying to stop hate. I want to read just a little bit from Patrice O'Neill, who is a filmmaker and one of the co-founders of Not in Our Town, the Working Group. In the beginning, there was Billings. We could have never guessed a single story would launch a movement. Nearly 20 years ago, our documentary film company, The Working Group, sent a film crew to Billings, Montana, to document a story about working people, ordinary people, who stood up for their neighbors when they were under attack by white supremacists. After attacks on a Native American woman's house, an African American church, and a Jewish family's home, the entire town refused to be silent and fearful. They stood up together. They said, "Not in our town." That became the title of our landmark media and engagement project called Not in Our Town. It changed the way we made films, and it changed the way we thought about the process of community transformation. The Billings story opened up a conversation about how we deal with hate crimes. The Billings story demonstrated that the responsibility for dealing with intolerance lies with all of us. That's from a introductory comments that Patrice O'Neill, the co-founder of the Working Group Not in Our Town, had in the conference materials. And I'm so pleased to introduce today Marty Elizabeth Ortiz, who is a board member of Not in Our Town Billings and an LGBT activist. She's currently at the latter part of her master's in clinical and counseling psychology, and I welcome you to Health Styles, Marty.
Thank you very much, Barbara.
It was such a pleasure to meet so many of the Billings community who gathered and worked very hard to organize this three-day gathering of leaders from national leaders from all over Billings and the nation. And I know we've just been back a day or so, and there's so much to process. But I'm wondering, Marty, if you can share just some of your first impressions of what it was like to have this gathering in your hometown as one of the leaders of the Not in Our Town Billings group.
Well, I can tell you it was a sense of pride. It did start here 20 years ago, and here is back again at home 20 years later. And it's a sense of pride to have people from all over the country come here to where it all began, to the town, the people that stood up and said, "Not in our town. This is not okay." So it was quite a sense of pride. At the same time, there's been discussion whether or not, you know, the same movement is still going on. And I believe it is. I believe it just needs to be reawakened. I believe some people may need reminders of what it is to say not in our town.
And this is true for so many places. I think I was one of the thoughts that I know we've shared and even while we were all at the gathering is how even in every town we had people that from Oak Creek, Wisconsin, from the Sikh community, where six of their Sikh members were murdered by a white supremacist. Everyone who was there, many who have faced terrible hate crimes, terrible tragedies, murders in their towns and communities, were aware that during those initial weeks and months or even a year after an event, with the wake-up call still needs to be loudly shouted of how every day, whether it's a bullying incident in school, a homophobic incident in a store, racist comments or racist practices, institutionalized practices. So we were there both to celebrate the successes, but also to dig deeper, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely, absolutely. It is, I think, the most overwhelming part of being there was seeing how such a negative event can end up with such a positive outcome. I mean, I could not even express the amount of positive energy that you feel from the people as everybody stands up together in unity and says, not in our town. It all just started with a negative event. I just don't think that needs to take a negative event. I think we need to stand up and say, not in our town. I don't think we need to wait for a negative event to happen.
This is
Yeah,
this is absolutely true. I was also so moved by the intergenerational aspect of the gathering. Share some of your thoughts about some of the young people who are there, some as young as high school students who'd gotten involved over the last couple of years through the Not in Our Schools, anti-bullying and social justice work that goes on in the schools. What did it feel like for you to also be there with our elders as well as people throughout almost every decade was represented, and particularly the youth movement and their remarks and their presentations of the work they did while they were there over those few days?
Absolutely. I don't think there was a gap. I think it was a very fluid expression of generations, and I am so glad that the Not in Our Schools program exists. I am so glad that it's there and being implemented where it is, and I think it needs to be more implemented because, like I said at the conference, not to be too cliche, but these are the leaders of tomorrow. These are going to be the people in the workplace. These are going to be the people who are going to make decisions to or not to discriminate, or, you know, they are the future. So I am so glad to see that representation and see how active and alive it is in certain communities.
There were many presentations that moved me deeply. One of the young high school students that really his story really moved me was a young man from a town in Wyoming, I believe, who wanted to go back after being at the gathering and begin to educate his community about, as he said, non-traditional families, families who had two parents who were gay, who were not what this small Wyoming town, if you will, were accepting or making it very difficult for them. I don't know whether this was a personal issue of his. What was important was that he saw this as one area that he wanted to address. I was so moved by that idea. You know, it's sort of something that I know of, but to hear a young person who is experiencing either for himself or for a friend at school or what he's noticed, I know that really moved me, and I know that you're active in the LGBT community, and these are probably issues, or one of the many issues, that you're also working on.
Yeah, and some people think that Not in Our Town stood for no hate, no discrimination, but not on the basis of sexual orientation. They claim that back then it was different, that we were a different Not in Our Town. And we weren't. There were homophobic remarks being made. There were homophobic actions back then, too. And we stood up for those. And I say we only pride myself on being part of Not in Our Town now. I was not there 20 years ago. But Not in Our Town did stand up for that and has always stood up for no hate and no discrimination, no matter who you are, no matter if it is a matter of race or gender or sexual orientation or identity or expression. It's not okay. It's never okay to hate or discriminate on somebody for no reason.
There was another presentation towards the end of the gathering by Valerie Hughes, who is a Texas mom whose son was bullied in school. And she went to law enforcement and school leadership and felt as though there wasn't enough reaction or efforts to change that. Do you remember Valerie's remarks and what she did?
Unfortunately, I cannot say thank you.
She was the woman, perhaps it was one of those times, there was so much going on, where she just called Not in Our Town. She went on the computer and was searching for anti-bullying efforts and came upon Not in Our Schools. And since that day, she's just been organizing her Tennessee town to recognize that bullying and all of the kinds of behaviors that happen in schools against people, all kinds of peoples who might not fit in based on what might be considered the normal culture of whatever that community is or whatever that school is, and is just fiercely fighting this. Nothing like an activist mom, which we all know. Nothing like an activist anything, which is all we know. The opportunity to rewatch the film, Not in Our Town, the evening of the celebration, what was that like to sit there and to hear from many of those leaders and the police chief and council members sitting up on the stage after the screening, since this is your town? What was that like for you, Marty, to witness that?
Again, a sense of pride. Having other people from outside of town and outside of state being there, and I can sit there and say, yeah, this is where I am. And at the same time, you know, the question in my mind, what happened? How is it that, and for those who don't know, you know, we are in the process, we're trying to get a non-discrimination ordinance passed. In the state of Montana, there is no statewide protection on the basis of sexual orientation, gender identity, or expression. And certain cities in Montana have passed ordinances protecting people on those. But Billings is not one of them, and we're in the process, and we're facing a lot of issues and a lot of opposition to those. And how is this the homeless man in our town? How has that happened? How is it that someone walks into city council and their testimony is just a reminder that the Bible says that a man that lies with another man should be put to death? How does that happen in the home of Not in Our Town?
That has been a very difficult moment for the Billings community, and I know that you've been one of the activists as part of Not in Our Town, as part of a citizen of Billings. Probably most of our listeners, unless they have, I haven't seen myself any national news about it. So thank you for addressing the non-disclosure ordinance. And I know that the night after we left on Monday evening, there was this another town council meeting. Where are things at now with that? And what is the community in support of that doing as next steps?
So what happened in that meeting is City Council made a decision to ask the Attorney General whether or not they had the authority to enact a non-discrimination ordinance, even though four cities have already come before them and done so, one of them 4 years ago, another one 2 years ago. They've been in place. They haven't been challenged. City Council decided to do that, and there seems to be no reason for that. Obviously, they do have the authority to do that. Their attorney, their city attorney, told them that they have the authority to do that. The attorneys from other cities said that those cities had the authority to do that. And right now, another thing that's been mentioned is to put it to a vote. And, you know, that was something that was said at the conference. You do not put civil rights to a vote. And better explained, but you don't have the majority vote on the rights of the minority. It's just simply not acceptable. So that's another thing that's been dealt with right now. And, you know, we're writing letters to City Council, and we are showing up to testify. We had, as some might know, we had the largest City Council meeting in the history of the town.
Wow.
A few weeks ago, which started at 6:30 in the afternoon, and it ended around 5 or 6 in the morning.
Wow.
So we are active, and we are responding to the City Council and hoping that they do actually listen to us.
Quite a tension, given that a celebration of 20 years earlier of a community that came together and said, Not in Our Town. And as you mentioned in your remarks a few moments ago, Marty, that in fact, inclusion of all people, and particularly those in the LGBT community that are standing tall. People in the movement to support the NDO are standing tall together, and a reminder that an inclusive community is a community for all people. I'm certain that and know that this struggle will continue. I've met the fierce activists of Billings, and know that that this is not quietly going to be put aside, and good for you and for all of the activists in the town of Billings to support that. My guest this afternoon is Marty Elizabeth Ortiz, a board member of Not in Our Town Billings and an LGBT activist. She's currently at the latter part of her master's in clinical and counseling psychology in Billings, Montana. And we're talking about the Not in Our Town National Leadership Gathering that took place last weekend, the end of June, in Billings, Montana. As mentioned earlier, I am a member of the board of the working group Not in Our Town, and bring not only the stories that Marty is sharing, Elizabeth Ortiz is sharing with us about the event, but pointing out the power and the use of media in organizing and helping people tell their stories, and to help gather others to see that, in fact, it's each one of our jobs, it's each one of our purpose in life to stand up, to hate, to stand up against violence, to stand up against the wrong, and that hundreds of communities now are designing their own actions based on their own towns and their own stories. And this movement called Not in Our Town is a way for us to have these conversations, sometimes not such easy conversations. And I want to let our listeners know there were moments Marty Elizabeth Ortiz, my guest this afternoon, stood up and reminded us about things. Talk about the issue of language and how important it is for us to be use specific kinds of language when speaking about the LGBT community and your efforts to educate that gathering.
Absolutely. Language is huge. It is absolutely huge with a lot of issues, and one of them is the LGBT community. You know, there are certain words that carry a lot of meaning behind them. When somebody uses the word sexual preference, that message carries a tone that is a choice. When you don't choose who you're attracted to, you do not choose to be straight. You don't choose to be gay. It's not a preference. It is an orientation. It is who you are. You are oriented towards attraction to one gender or all genders or some genders. So that is one word that I would totally caution people from using, is the word sexual preference, and highly suggest the word sexual orientation. Another word or phrase that totally makes me cringe is alternative lifestyle or lifestyle. Either one of them, you know, to suggest that, oh, it's just a choice. It's an alternative. It's another thing on the side. Hey, for those that want to venture into that, it doesn't work like that. If you are hardwired to love someone, then you are. You don't just choose to take this lifestyle. You just love, because love is love, no matter if you love men, women, or any kind of, you know. And I am very much about the gender spectrum and about educating people that there's more to people than male or female. It's not as simple as male or female. There's people out there that are neither, that are not male or female, or that are both. And it's, gender is such a fluid thing. And I know for this, some people, this might be the very first time they hear this. Some people may know it all too well. But gender is very fluid. And slowly our society may be starting to understand that. But definitely language, like avoiding some of those things, that's a great thing. When you, even if you're a supporter and you come to somebody and you use those words, you don't know what the reaction is going to be. You know, I may try to educate you on them if I perceive that you don't know what you're talking about. And some of the people, you may totally push them away because they like, oh, great, they think I'm choosing. If they think I'm choosing this, they think a lot of other things. So, yeah, be educated on language.
We mentioned also that in some of the print media, as well as all platforms of media, that the use of pronouns and allowing the person who you're interviewing to tell you what pronoun they'd like to use is one way and one effort for journalists and those in the media to better understand and better use the correct pronoun. And this is something that we're hoping to, as a health reporter, helping to educate others about. I know just a brief story when I had an opportunity to teach a class of nursing at Hunter College where I work. There was a trans person who came in and someone asked, you know, what do we do? How do we, I don't know what gender that person is. And the person who was on the panel said, ask them what pronoun they'd like to be referenced by. A simple, direct question seems more appropriate, doesn't it, Marty?
Absolutely. And I do tell that to people. I said, when in doubt, ask. Mm. And there are times that I expect people to know. When I walk into a room, and I always present as a female, so when I walk into a room and you see me totally presenting as a female, I kind of do expect that, you know, that I expect the pronoun she or her to be used. But if in doubt, I'd rather be asked than not. And not everybody prefers those pronouns. There are people there that prefer the pronoun they, mm-hmm. because they do not identify with either one. But definitely, when in doubt, ask. Don't judge somebody based on their voice, because that's not, you know, a trans woman, for example, does not have a lot of control all the time about her voice and what it sounds like. So don't make that judgment. Also, don't assume orientation, because a person that who is trans may or may not be oriented to who you think. A woman that was born male may be attracted to men or women or all genders, and a man that was born or assigned female at birth may be attracted to either one anyways. So don't assume that just because somebody transitions that they're going to be attracted to the opposite sex, or they're going to be gay or whatever. Don't assume that. And I don't think it's your place to ask either. Mm. Sometimes using words, again, speaking about terminology, gender-neutral words like partner or spouse work very well, and don't put people in bad positions.
You know, I love and will always love and always need to hear this reminder of don't make assumptions. I think we all are wired, if you will, to think we know someone on first meeting, something about them, some way that we think we're connecting. And there's nothing more powerful for me as a learner, as a human being, to have some of those assumptions that just clicked in my head from my own biases, my own cultural understanding of things, and recognize that, in fact, I was so wrong about this person. And I think that in order to forgive myself and to grow more as someone who wants to be supportive and learn myself about biases that I hold, ways that power and privilege make assumptions about the world, that these are the kinds of experiences that allow for that safe space to have that kind of conversation, for that allow us to explore what does it mean? Why did I think that? You know, and there were a number of times just on having more information. What's that person's story that has made my life richer by being at the gathering and being involved in this work, and not only through Not in Our Town, but the opportunity to place myself and to be listening and learning from others about not making assumptions, not making an assumption that will close me off to really what that other person needs to feel safe and included in the work that I do, both as a nurse and as a health reporter. And I know that you're completing your studies, Marty, in psychology counseling. And What's your dream going forward in using your education and your expertise and your activism? Where are you taking this?
Well, and you know, I think there's two separate things. My goal is to be a therapist and to treat the LGBT and the trans community. That is my goal, and to continue to be an activist. So there are two separate things, and my education will come into play in both, because as an activist, you know, I do have a background that I can use for the LGBT community. So my goal would be both, would be to continue to be an activist and to treat the LGBT community.
Well, we know that you're on to even more important work. I am so pleased that you were able to get up this early for this interview this morning and join us in conversation. I hope to hear back from you about the continued efforts and activism to passing the non-discrimination ordinance in the town of Billings, Montana. As someone who's on the board member of the Not in Our Town Billings, I want to thank you, Marty Elizabeth Ortiz, for joining me on Health Styles this morning and sharing your insights and impressions, as well as guiding us through these conversations around building a more safe and inclusive community for all. Thank you for joining me.
My pleasure.
Next up on Health Styles, you will be hearing from journalist Gary Switzer from Health News Review. Gary Switzer evaluates the news coverage this week, reporting on the study Breast Cancer Screening Using Tomosynthesis in Combination with Digital Mammography that was published in the Journal of the American Medical Association. Health News Review posted their response with their post, which journalists reported an extra dimension on the 3D mammography story. I'm Barbara Glickstein, and you've been listening to Health Styles, brought to you by the Center for Health Media and Policy at Hunter College, City University of New York. You can learn more about the center by going to centerforhealthmediapolicy.com and learn about how we see the use of media to engage the public in influencing their own health, their families, their communities, and helping to set a health policy that reflects the needs of all communities. Stay tuned. Thank you, Marty.